The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
The Bible tells an amazing story, which in the previous split sermon, Daniel spoke part of. And that story has been part of God's plan for us since before the world started. And it was a wonderful plan, and he had plans for the contingencies because he knew the frailties of mankind. And he put two trees in the garden when he made man, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And man chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and decided to do it his own way. So here's Adam and Eve deciding to do it their own way, and God throws them out of this beautiful garden. And God curses them and also gives them something to hope for. With the first prophecy of a Savior. But here they are thrown out, and God curses the ground. Now Adam has to work. And well, he had to work anyway, because God told him to dress and keep the garden. But now the earth is going to produce nettles. He's going to have to work harder to get what he wants. So here you have this couple all by themselves, now having to fend for themselves differently than they had to in this garden. And we know that they had two boys, and we know they had other children as well, because Cain had gotten married, so he had to have married one of his sisters. We don't know how many people there were at that point in time, you know, when Cain and Abel were around, but we know there were a few. And we know Cain got upset at his brother, because Abel was following what God wanted. And Cain wasn't happy with that because Abel was getting recognition and he wasn't. And so he killed Abel. So the first born of mankind was a murderer. And this was all because of the fruit of the tree of good and evil. Man trying to do it his own way. Now, if it started so poorly way back then, do we really think it's any different now? Or do you think God knew it wasn't going to be any different as humanity progressed? When Paul was on the earth, he wrote 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy 3, he gave us a quick rundown of what man was going to be like. And he said, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come." Doesn't say safe times, doesn't say times that we'll be happy with. But he says perilous times. For he says, "Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy," and on the list goes in 2 Timothy 3:1 all the way down to 2 Timothy 3:8. And all this because we continue to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God had Isaiah write about the way mankind was, and he used both Israel, Judah and Israel, as well as what the Bible refers to as Gentiles, to talk about the state of man. In Isaiah 28, because that tree that man has eaten of and the fruit that it was going to bring. This is what he says, Isaiah 28, in verse 7. And it says, and this says, but they have also erred through wine and through intoxicating drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way through intoxicating drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all our tables are full of vomit and filth, and no place is clean. When will he teach knowledge, and whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk, or those just drawn from the breasts? So God paints a pretty poor picture of people that are supposed to know how to live according to God's way, but they've rejected it. And a little further down in verse 14 and 15, he says, therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men who rule this people who are in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with the grave, Sheol. We are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us, for we have made our lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves. So here's people thinking that they can hide because of the lies and do pretty much what they want because they're in control. So do you think that by living against the way God says to live, that it's going to produce good fruit? Remember what Paul said. They're going to be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. So what you have is people thinking about themselves, making sure they're first, making sure that if anything gets in their way, they will follow the same path that Cain did with Abel. So whether you're in charge of a country, say communist Russia during the time of Stalin, where millions of people get killed, because you need to rule the country and you want to maintain power, or whether you're in charge of this country, the current president or past presidents, what have they had to do? Man does not worship God as a whole. And it's really not part of our nature to do such. And God makes sure he talks about this to us, and he talks about this about, you know, as mankind. And he says in Isaiah 29 in verse 13, therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their lips and honor me with their mouths, but have removed their hearts far from me, their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. So we've tried to replace, mankind has tried to replace what God wants with what we want. And he says in 29:14, therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent shall be hidden. Woe to those who seek to hide their counsel far from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. They say, who sees us and who knows us? The world is in a mess, whether in their daily lives, their economic lives, political lives. It's all a mess ready to come down, and it's going to come down when God wants. Not when we want, not when we think, but when God wants. And God will perform that wondrous work. And God further talks about how man is, what we think, how we want to get away with things, how we want to do it our own way. Isaiah 30, verses 8 to 15 are another example of these things. And he says, and I'll break into Isaiah 30, verse 10. Who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Why does mankind want God out of their lives, out of his life? Well, Romans 1:28 puts it this way. Actually, you can put down all of Romans 1, but we're going to start in Romans 1, verse 28. And it says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, and on it goes. And it ends in verse 32, it says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. In other words, the people that are doing God's way, living his way of life, they want to get rid of them. Because just like Abel was a stench in Cain's nostrils, so are God's people who practice righteousness a stench in people that don't practice righteousness. Because it makes them feel bad. I'm going to list a few things, and I'm sure you can list many, many things that are going on. In our society, we have couples living together outside of marriage, and then even having kids, and then possibly getting married, or moving on to the next mate. We have this thing called LGBT, which is the homosexual and transgender or whatever crowd. And today, it's a pinnacle of modern civilization to be able to accept this type of lifestyle. Not to reject it, but to accept it. In fact, if you don't accept it, you're not part of the civilization that people want around them. And on it goes. If you have any resemblance to what God thinks, people don't want you around. Our leaders are corrupt. We no longer force them to resign. In fact, we applaud them for being as corrupt as they are. We look the other way. This type of lifestyle brings with it a problem. are these lifestyles, this way of man. It's not something that God has to force curses on man. The curses are already on man. God just knows that the curses are going to be in place where basically man gets to be shown that not living God's way of life is going to bring death. As we know in Matthew 24, it says, "Unless these days are shortened, no flesh shall be saved alive." And God isn't making it so that it's not on man's mind to do that. It's on man's mind itself. Now, maybe through the auspices of the adversary, but these are things that man is still thinking. And God foretold this. We know he talks about this in Revelation, which was 2,000 years ago. But God also foretold this in his prophets years and years ago. In Isaiah 17, he talks about some of the judgments that'll come on mankind. In Isaiah 17 and verse 11, he says, "In that day you will make your plant to grow, and in the morning you will make your seed to flourish. But the harvest will be a heap of ruins in the day of grief and desperate sorrow. Woe to the multitude of many people who make a noise like the roar of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of many waters. The nations will rush like the rushing of many waters, but God will rebuke them, and they will flee far away and be chased like the chaff of the mountains before the wind, like a rolling thing before the whirlwind." This could be a picture of the armies trying to come before God and then being decimated or being destroyed. Decimated isn't the right word. God's not killing 1 out of 10. They're being destroyed, and they flee away whatever is left, if there is anything left. God says there will be an end to it. There will be an end to how mankind does things. In Isaiah 24, verse 3, it says, "The land shall be entirely emptied and utterly plundered, for the Lord has spoken his word." Why will the land be emptied and totally plundered? Because of the war that man will make on himself. As was mentioned, what happened in Germany during World War II? Millions of people were thrown into these basic slaughterhouses and destroyed. People were taken captive in lands across Europe, in lands across Asia. We didn't see many of the atrocities that occurred in that period of time unless you were at war. And even then, you probably didn't, unless you were a prisoner in the war camp, or unless you liberated these places. "The earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. The earth is also defiled under its inhabitants, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left." So mankind is going to be punished because of what's happening. Eventually, rule will be taken away from man, and the rule given to, and the rule taken by God to bring peace. But God has set aside his people. And many of the things that are mentioned in these prophecies, one way or another, we will see or be a part of. And God gives us instruction. In Isaiah 33:2, he says, O Lord, be gracious to us. We have waited for you. Be their arm every morning, our salvation, also in the time of trouble. Because we're going to need God in this period of time. We're going to have faith in him that he knows what he's doing with us, and he does. In verse 14, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearlessness has seized the hypocrites. Fearfulness, not fearlessness. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. He will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure. Your eyes will see the king in his beauty. They will see the land that is a very far off. That was in Isaiah 33:14-17. God also gives us other instruction in Isaiah. In Isaiah 35:3, he says, he tells his people, strengthen the hands, the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come to save you. Now, whether these are other people that are called by God, or whether this is encouragement that you give to people saying that you will have physical life, God is coming to bring a kingdom. That's something that we need to have with us, to be able to share with people. God also says in Isaiah 26, starting in verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace. Who? God's people. Whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord has everlasting strength. For he brings down those who dwell on high, the lofty. Your dead shall... That's verse 3 to 5. Then in verse 19, your dead shall... Then he goes into talking about the resurrection. Your dead shall live together with my dead body. They shall arise, and this is Isaiah speaking, they shall arise, awake, and sing. You who dwell in dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. So you see, even in Isaiah, he talks about the resurrection and about coming back to life. And Isaiah was written well before the end of the kingdom of Judah. And I can't remember if Israel was gone by then. I think it was, but I don't remember. But God has a plan, and he's not going to leave mankind in the middle of destruction. Because if he does, the destruction will be total. It won't be partial. There won't be a man alive, as Jesus Christ even told his apostles or his disciples at that time. When Jesus Christ comes back on this earth, Isaiah 27:1 says, "In that day the Lord with his severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing servant." Serpent. Leviathan, that twisted servant. Serpent. "And he will slay the reptile that is within the sea." This is also talked about in Revelation, where it's time to put Satan down. But before then, God says in Isaiah 19 in verse 22, "The Lord will strike Egypt. He will strike and heal it. They will return to the Lord, and he will be entreated by them, and he will heal them. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. And the Assyrian will come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptians will serve with the Assyrians. In that day, Israel will be one of three with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed is Egypt my people, and Assyria the work of my hands, and Israel my inheritance." I'll read that one again. Isaiah 19:25, "Whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed is Egypt my people, and Assyria the work of my hands, and Israel my inheritance." God says in Isaiah 32:1, "Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. A man will be a hiding place from the wind and a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, and the shadow in a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of those who see will not be dim, and the ears of those who hear will listen. And the heart of the rash will understand knowledge, and the tongue of stammerers will be ready to speak plainly." God will bring his kingdom. God will be the savior of mankind. As Jesus saved mankind when he gave his life on the cross for mankind, he's also going to save mankind from himself and give him physical salvation and spiritual salvation to his church. These are times that we can look forward to because God says to look to him. These aren't necessarily wonderful times, but they're times that God says not to fear for his people. Now, other people say it much better than I can, but God tells us not to fear. So even if we do, we need to learn to trust God. And we need to determine whether that those uncomfortable times, we will look toward him and know that he will not fail us. Because he wants us to be his, in his family, as his children. And to be Jesus Christ's wife. So there's much, much to look forward to and to thank God for as he starts completing his plan with humankind.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.